Good morning. Welcome to Luma Digest. I'm Noura. Right, so it's Saturday the 4th of April and we've got some properly interesting stuff to talk about today. Anthropic just made a move that nobody saw coming. Quantum physicists discovered electrons behaving like they're moving through a fourth dimension. And there's a brilliant piece on how to actually structure large Next.js applications without losing your mind. Let's start with the one that made me sit up. Anthropic, you know them for Claude, just spent $400 million acquiring a biotech startup called Coefficient Bio. $400 million. For a company that was in stealth mode, doing AI-driven drug discovery. Now, here's why this matters. We've been watching AI labs scale their models, compete on benchmarks, race to AGI, but this is different. Anthropic isn't just building better language models anymore. They're moving into an adjacent industry where their technology compounds existing advantages, drug discovery, protein folding, molecular design. These are problems where AI doesn't just assist, it fundamentally changes the timeline. And the really interesting bit, they're not licensing their models to biotech companies. They're not partnering, they bought the whole operation. That tells you they see this as a core vertical, not a side project. The takeaway, AI labs are done being just AI labs, they're becoming something else entirely. Industry-specific platforms where the model is just the starting point. Worth thinking about what that means for the rest of the software world, right? Okay, so while Anthropic was making acquisitions, OpenAI was dealing with its own internal shuffle. Three executives moved roles this week. COO Brad Lightcap shifted to lead special projects. CMO Kate Rauch stepped away for health reasons. And Fidji Simo, the CEO of AGI Deployment, took medical leave. Now, I don't want to speculate too much here. Health issues are real, people need time off. But three senior executives moving or stepping back in the same week? That's not nothing. What struck me is the timing. OpenAI is scaling faster than any company in history. They're managing partnerships with Microsoft, navigating regulatory scrutiny, balancing open research with commercial pressure. That's a lot of weight on a leadership team. The thing to remember is this: internal structure matters. When you're building at this speed, at this scale, the cracks show up in the org chart first. I hope everyone involved gets what they need. But it's worth watching how OpenAI adapts, because if the leadership layer is under this much pressure, what does that tell us about the rest of the operation? Right. Let me lighten things up a bit. MIT physicists just discovered something absolutely wild. They created these materials called moiré crystals, thin sheets layered and twisted at precise angles. And the electrons inside them? They're behaving as though they're moving through a fourth dimension, not metaphorically. Actually, so here's what's happening. When you stack and twist these atomically thin layers, you create a synthetic dimension. The electrons can tunnel through this dimension in ways that don't exist in normal three-dimensional materials. It's like, okay, imagine you're on a flat surface, but you can suddenly step sideways into a direction that didn't exist before. That's what these electrons are doing. And here's the bit that really matters. The team didn't just stumble onto this. They developed a scalable chemical synthesis approach. That means you can actually manufacture these materials, reproduce them, use them in real applications. Before this, making moiré crystals was a manual stacking process. Tedious, inconsistent, not scalable. Now it is. What does that unlock? Higher dimensional superconductivity. Topological properties that previously existed only in theory. Materials that could change how we build quantum computers, sensors, maybe even entirely new types of electronics. The takeaway? We just got a reproducible way to access physics that was theoretical until now. That's not an incremental step. That's a door opening. Have a think about where that leads in 5 years. Okay, so this next one is for anyone building with Next.js. There's a piece that came out this week, properly comprehensive, walking through how to structure large Next.js applications. And I mean the stuff that actually matters: collocation patterns in the app router, feature-based folder structures, monorepos with turbo repo, server components as data fetching boundaries, testing strategies that match each layer's responsibility. Now, here's the detail that stood out to me. When you push the use client boundary down to interactive leaves instead of page routes, you retain all the benefits of server components. You're fetching data on the server, reducing bundle size, keeping the initial page load fast, but you're still getting client-side interactivity exactly where you need it. It's that specificity that makes the difference. Not just use server components, but where to draw the line. What stays on the server? What moves to the client? And how to structure your folders so the architecture doesn't collapse under its own weight when you hit 50 routes? The piece also covers CI and CD pipelines that only rebuild changed packages in a monorepo. That's the kind of detail that saves hours every week once you're at scale. Bottom line, if you're building anything non-trivial in Next.js, this is worth your time. The patterns here aren't theoretical. They're battle-tested, and they'll save you from refactoring nightmares 6 months down the line. Right, one more before we wrap. There's a framework making the rounds this week for AI agent verification, and honestly, this is overdue. Here's the problem. When you give an AI agent access to tools, APIs, databases, how do you know it actually did what it said it did? The agent reports back, task completed, but did it? Did it use the right payload? Did it call the right endpoint? Or did it hallucinate a success message? This framework introduces cryptographic receipts at the MCP transport layer. Every action the agent takes gets a verifiable receipt. You can prove, independently, that the agent executed a specific action with a specific payload. No trusting the agent's self-reported logs, no hoping it got it right. Now, why does this matter? Because as agents get more autonomy, as they start touching production systems, financial transactions, customer data, verification isn't optional anymore, it's foundational. The interesting bit is that this sits at the transport layer. It's not baked into the agent itself, it's infrastructure, which means you can add it to any agent that uses the Model Context Protocol without rebuilding the whole system. The takeaway? If you're building agents that do more than just answer questions, if they're taking actions in the real world, you need a way to verify those actions. This framework gives you that. Worth having a conversation about with your team this week. So, stepping back from all of that, here's what I keep coming back to. Anthropic buying a biotech startup. OpenAI restructuring its leadership. MIT unlocking higher dimensional physics with scalable materials, practical architecture patterns for real applications, verification layers for autonomous agents. These aren't separate stories. They're all pieces of the same shift. The infrastructure is maturing. The theory is becoming practice. And the companies that figure out how to move from interesting demo to scalable system are the ones that'll define the next 5 years. Something to think about on the commute home. That's it for now. Thanks for listening. Links in the show notes.